You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, April 1st. No April Fools here. This is nonsense. We don't do that.
It's an April Fools free zone.
Right. Yes, we don't play. It's episode 3917, brought to you today by Chewy Equine. Good morning, horse people. Everything's normal.
Yes, I have seen them start already this morning. It's like, oh, it's April Fool's Day.
Yep.
Social media just gives them an opportunity to do more of them. Than
I sent my kid to school and I was like, listen, believe nothing today. Trust no one.
I saw a post the other day this morning that said, don't believe 80% of what you see on social media today, or don't believe 95% of what you see on social media today. And on the other days, don't believe 80%. So it was perfect. Hey, we're going to make a lot of people very happy today. We are really going to make a lot of people very happy because we have social media sensation Katie Van Slyke is going to join us today. And we're going to chat about her foal named Glenn and other things, but starting with that. plus, we speak with the hosts of a brand new show on the network called Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. I love these two. I think you're going to love them too. We have some weird news going on. And people, Jamie, seem to love the tune that I put to the history segment, the bumper.
I love it. I told you.
I know.
It's fantastic.
And people are asking. It's a ragtime tune that I chose for that. I got it out of a PodSafe music company, which means they get artists to make music specifically that people can use. We pay lots of money to have access to that company.
So you better damn well like the song.
You better like the song. But I'm going to play the whole thing. Playing the show out today, I'll play the whole song. So,
oh, that might be too much, but yeah, okay.
But you've asked for it.
Like, download it, okay?
You asked for it. I paid for it, so I'm playing it.
Whether you like it
or not. And then we will have a post show. You have some stories that won't make weird news that you're going to do in the post show, right?
So yeah, so many people. Oh my gosh, this is like a record week of weird news submissions. So Glenn won't let me do them all. So I'm going to do one or two in the post show too.
All right, good. Hey, Mary King announced her retirement. She is a legend in eventing. To give you an idea how much of a legend, of course, she's from Great Britain. She has represented Great Britain in six consecutive Olympic Games from 1992 to 2012. She has two Olympic silvers, one bronze, the World Equestrian Games, which is where I met her. She has two gold and one silver. Do you remember her winning the Kentucky three-day? Were you there?
Of course. Yeah. She came in first and second that year.
Yep,
what year
right.
was that?
It was 2011, and it was on King's Temptress. And Fernhill Urko. was the horse that was in second that time. So, yeah, she came in first and second. She just said in a post that she said, I decided to hang my boots. I started my 46th year of eventing this year. She actually competed in a couple of shows this year. And she's decided to stop competing and to send her latest event horses to Emily, her daughter, to continue their career. So she's going to continue breeding. She's been breeding for the last several years, and she's going to continue breeding and working with the young horses. But she said, I love her quote. She said,
this quote's amazing.
I can now go on a holiday and not feel guilty about the horses I should be riding. And
yeah, isn't that the truth?
For every professional rider, especially, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But congratulations to her for making it this long. You know, a lot of people will know her for having the number one video game in the horse world ever. It sold more copies than any ever has, and it was Mary King's Riding Star, and that came out in 1998. And
game is that? What platform is that on?
It was on PC or whatever the Microsoft one is.
Oh, so it's like a computer game.
It was a computer game, and it was so popular. It was eventing, obviously. What I didn't know, we sold, by the way, that was the time we had our tack shop, and we had our online store. And we sold so many of those because it was the first real horsey computer game. And it had pretty good graphics for the day. I mean, for the day, your computers were much slower then. So,
Are you telling me that Mary King's Riding Star was better than Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron?
Yes, where I'm telling you, Mary King's Riding Star.
Break out of the fence and then go collect all my girlfriends and bring them back and set everybody free?
It was huge in those days. What I didn't realize till I was researching it today, and I didn't know this when we were selling them, is they had different versions for different countries with different stars from those countries, different big-time adventures from those countries in the game. So they had a German version and a French version with their big stars. Americans didn't get their own version because we didn't, I guess, have any big stars. I don't know. But we sold the Mary King one, and we sold hundreds of those games. So anyway, just a side note there. Brought back some memories. All right, let's do some birthdays.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Happy birthday, friends.
Happy birthday to Hannah, to Jennifer, and to April, and also my good friend Mark, who was my jester for 10 years while we had the acting company. It's his birthday today, and I'm wishing him the best as well. We had a new auditor too, Jamie. Becky is a new auditor. Thank you, Becky, for joining the club. She said she listens to us all the time, and she was referred to us by a friend. She was taking a long road trip and needed a podcast to listen to, and she was referred, and she's been listening to us ever since. So thank you, Becky, for that. It's always fun to hear about how
people
hear about us.
That's a lesson to everybody. Tell your friends we can keep doing this.
That's right. Anytime they're going on a road trip, say, you want to kill a lot of time, just listen to all the episodes of Horses in the Morning.
Nonsense.
That's right.
Nonsense. Okay, y'all, I've been having a major problem in my barn. A major problem.
The problem is your daily Winnie?
They are called freaking birds. Like birds. Oh my God. There, if you see any pictures or videos I post, there's bird poop all over the place. And I can't seem to get rid of it. They get behind my sliding doors in my warm barn. I slide the doors closed and they like make nests in between.
Are they the little tiny barn swallows?
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know what they are. They're the ones
buzz
that
you
like,
when they buzz your ears when they're going in and out.
I don't know what they are, but Chad says they're bad because they like basically like go in and they take other birds' nests and like jump in and like get those eggs out, and then they make their nest in the nest that birds have already made. It's like a whole thing. I don't know. But anyway, so I've been having this problem. The birds. So, oh my God, you're never gonna believe what I found.
What's that?
I was grocery shopping in one of my favorite grocery stores, Aldi. That's right. And for those who don't know, like Aldi is a very strange grocery store. Like it's kind of like the stuff's on the floor. They don't have a whole lot
of
employees.
It's one of the fastest growing grocery stores in America.
Aldi. It's like ridiculously cheap for like, you can get a whole cart for, you know, $50, where at Walmart, that would be 200. So This is not an Aldi commercial, although we will take an Aldi sponsorship. So if you go to the Facebook page, it's called the Aldi Aisle of Shame. There is one aisle in the middle of Aldi that sells garbage.
The most random crap.
Just garbage. But sometimes you could find a gem. And guess what I found? I've been looking at these, but they were $50 a piece on Amazon. And lo and behold, here they are in the Aldi Aisle of Shame. Barn owls with heads that move in the wind.
Are they blow up ones or are they?
No, they're probably, I'll send you a picture of it, because they're like probably 2 feet tall, and you put this little thing on the back of their head and it catches in the wind, and their heads are like on a swivel, like they move. Oh, and they're not, they're like hard plastic, and they have like a base that has a hole in it so you can take the base and fill it with sand. So, I mean, it's like science. Aldi has science to help me keep this. Now, I have not put them up yet because I need a ladder to hang them up in my barn because the birds get way up high. So I got to figure out how to hang it. But I'm so super excited.
Oh, we need an owl report then next week to see.
Because, y'all, I am so tired of these birds. Like, I walked out of the barn, and when I go in the barn, I just bang on the doors. I'm like, bam, 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 you know, and they scatter. But I'm so tired of the poo. I'm so tired of the poo. I can't take it. So anyway, I will keep you guys up to date on my Aldi Isle of Shame Barn Owl purchase. I bought two.
We want to know.
They're $9.99 a piece.
You might be solving a lot of problems for people, or next week you'll be saying they don't work. Don't buy them. Don't waste your money.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I did post them on the Aldi Isle of Shame Facebook page to see what people thought of them. And like one person's like, oh my God, I just bought those two. And everybody else is like, they're garbage. My birds ate them. The birds in my barn ate them. So we'll see how it goes.
Hey, I saw a picture you posted yesterday. Then we're going to get to Katie. Don't worry. I saw a picture that you posted yesterday of your husband in a hole in the ground. What was that about?
Bless him. I posted it with like, marry a man who will learn to fix everything. Keep in mind, my husband was a fighter pilot, like top gun, Tom Cruise, riding a motorcycle to work, like living in an apartment complex.
He was the real Tom Cruise for a while.
He was like the cool guy. And now he's like, probably 3 feet deep in a hole, replumbing everything. I told him, I was like, we can call people to do this. He was like, I'll lose my man card. I'm like, think you get paid too much money in your real job to be doing this in your not real job. And plus you complain about it all the time. So let's just hire somebody to. So basically we have these hose hydrants that they're like, they're the non-freeze hydrants. So they go way down into the ground. And so we have these hydrants and I know you're going to be shocked, but one of my horses ran into it and apparently busted the like this whatever plumbing piping thing in the underground. And
was all that of a sudden, speaking Spanish?
I don't want to talk. Listen, don't you make me name anybody, okay? I said that it was the border that I had. Remember, I was going to have a farm girl. Yes. And I told my husband it was her horse. It was like months ago. He's like, wow, that leak is pretty slow, but it's like a leak that came out of the ground. So all of a sudden the ground's, but I was like, it's been like that for a while. It wasn't amigo. No, it was that girl that I kicked out of here. Anyway, so he fixed it. And oh my God, it took like 3 days in ordering parts. And like, thank God for same day delivery on Amazon. Again, we'll take you as a sponsor as well. So yeah, it was crazy. He's face deep in the hole and he fixed it.
Impresses me as a horse husband, because you know I can build stuff. I could probably build you a small house successfully, but I could do electrical. Jennifer can do electrical. She worked as an electrician for a long time. We can do electrical. I cannot do plumbing to save my life. I just cannot figure out plumbing for some reason. Mm-mm. It's not easy. Good job, Chad.
Like, so my brother's a plumber, and it's gross. Like plumbing is gross. And not that we're doing sewer type stuff. It was just mud and muck and worms and just. And of course I had to help. I don't want to help. He's like, will you help me for a second? I'm like,
that's why I wanted to hire somebody.
Yeah. I'll pay somebody. I'll pay for it. Like, I'm fine. Yeah, we're good.
If I did the plumbing, it would just leak again. And so we'd have to end up hiring somebody anyway. So,
well, he went on a trip and he was like, so how's it hanging down there? And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it would have been way faster. Just hire somebody. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Well, good job, Chad. Anybody can do plumbing, I'm impressed.
Yes. I'm amazed. Like, he continues to impress me. He's built like all the fence. He just
is true Okie boy, isn't he? He's true redneck Okie is really what he is.
And he was not that when I found him. I broke him. I broke him.
Chewy is everything you need to get your barn ready for spring. Whether you're battling mud, upgrading your grooming supplies, or stocking up on electrolytes and Ulcer Guard for that unpredictable weather, Chewy delivers what you need right when you need it. Stay on track with vaccines, dewormers, daily supplements, all with trusted brands and the convenience of AutoShip. Plus, enjoy free shipping on orders over $49. It's never been simpler to keep your horse happy and healthy. Start your spring restock today at chewy.com/equine. I got to tell you, I heard Jennifer on the phone yesterday talking about a prescription for guess which pony.
Is it Spanish speaking?
No, I don't know. Hack. He speaks French. So she's on the phone and trying to straighten this out because the order from the vet was screwed up. It was a prescription. And she got done. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to hear about this. And she's like, oh no, Chewy fixed it. They contacted the vet and they fixed it. And it was like, really? And there was a price discrepancy on the website from what the final order was. And they said, oh, we put that in wrong. We're going to give you the cheaper price that was on the website. Oh, don't worry about it. Cool. I mean, they're a really good company. They really are. Yeah. So thank you, Chewy, for saving me money personally.
I appreciate it. I want to comment, but I'm going to go back a little bit when we were talking about fixing everything and how your wife can like electric thing, you know, like do electrical work. So one of the, I posted the picture of Chad in the hole on my Facebook page. And one of the comments underneath, like everybody's like, oh my God, my husband's best. Or like, I wish my husband would do that. Oh my God, your husband's amazing. And then one person wrote, you need to learn how to fix it yourself because the man's not going to always be around to fix this for you. Well, I would like to say, no, the man, if he's not around to fix it for me,
you're going to hire another man.
I will have a man to do it. I'm sorry. Like, I do lots of stuff as a woman by myself. Like, I'm fine with it. I have my own special set of skills, but I appreciate the women that can do it. I am not that woman.
Isn't that why we're in a marriage? So we don't have to have all the skills. Isn't that why we get married? One of the reasons? You know,
I mean, to be fair, like, I did not know
that we can. We don't want to.
And again, those single girls Separate who can plumbing. Fix it all, like you're all amazing. And I'm super proud of all of you. And I wish I could do it, but I can't. So I'm not going to, and I'm not going to learn. I don't want to learn. I'm too old to learn. I don't want to learn anything.
I know a lot of things. I hire a plumber.
So. You know what my dad did? People having your dad teach you how to fix stuff. You know what my dad taught me? Call somebody. That's what my dad taught me.
All right.
Chad's like, you need to work on your changing a tire. And I was like, why? I'm just going to call somebody. Like, I'm not going to do that.
All right. Let's go to the guests. They're all waiting.
Sorry. It's a tangent.
Well, we are so excited to have one of the best known social media personalities in the horse world with over 12 million followers on all the platforms. And I'm sure she still surprised every time somebody says that. I had about 20 listeners send me one of Katie Van Slyke's videos about a cute, adorable, the most adorable mini foal I've ever seen, and she named it after me.
I would like to introduce you to Glenn. I went with the theme. I just couldn't not, guys. Like, yeah, he is cute, and everyone's like, he's too cute to be Glenn, which I think is super offensive to all the Glenns
me
out there.
Me too!
But if we were calling Glenn a not cute boy name, what better baby than the solid red colt when I wanted a pinto filly, you know? Like, he came out being a Glenn.
Okay, I am not sure whether to be offended, to be flattered.
Dude,
Katie, I'm just not sure.
You.
We stay on trend, okay? So we've had a mean girl trend going with all my minis, and we're running out of names, so we're about to have to kind of swap. But we've had all of the like mean girl names, and then when they had their babies, so like when Regina had a baby, it was George, Regina George character. And then so Coco, it's kind of an obscure character in the movie, but Glenn Coco is a really known small character in that movie, and so we had to go with it.
All right.
Oh, Glenn, she didn't name it after you.
I know. Oh, now I'm disappointed twice. I'm disappointed.
I'm sorry.
I mean, to be fair, she's upgrading your cuteness by saying this is actually a cute Glenn for once.
He is possibly like the cutest thing I've ever seen, though. So, like, I hope that helps.
He is really cute. I gotta say that Domini is really cute.
Which is funny because he's supposed to be this fancy little show horse one day. So I hope you know he's a very well-bred Glenn. Mm. Like, he is a very, very high-end, like, he should go on to do all the fancy mini things, like jumping and driving and halter and all the stuff.
Well, I got
so Glenn, Katie said that she was expecting a pinto filly and got a red colt. Was your mother disappointed when you were born?
Oh my goodness.
I was number three, so that could be the case.
She didn't care anymore.
I hope I do get my pinto filly, though. I have two more minis due. So one of them is due in May and then the other due in June. And so I'm like, both of them have the ability to throw a pinto. And so I'm just crossing my fingers that Glenn isn't like, I don't know, like he's my solid boy. And I hope that's the only solid boy of the year.
You know,
well, Katie, listen, I bred horses for several years and all I wanted was a black colt. And by God, I got a red filly, a bay colt, and then a black filly. Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait. So it's like, I just need to buy it.
I'm just happy that there was something named Glenn in the last 40 years, because I think that that particular baby of yours was the first Glenn in a long time.
So. You know, the amount of men that have stopped me when I'm at a horse show or whatever, and they're like, I'm so happy you named your foal after me. Like, the Glens are happy with it. So
really? Yeah,
there's not many of us so anymore.
But you know, it's going to be, he's a fun guy. He's brought a lot of love into the world. And for some reason, I always have a lot of uproar when I name a foal, no matter what I name it, somebody's going to dislike it. But then once we get into knowing their personality, and probably like a month in, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's their name. They could never be called anything else. And so it was kind of the same thing with Glenn. Like, it was a very love it or hate it name at the moment. So sorry for saying that. But now everyone is like, oh yeah, he's Glenn for sure. We could never call him anything else.
I guess that you were leading me into the question that I was going to get to in a bit, but I'll ask it now, because you talk about uproar when you post something online, like a name. You also post, I mean, you post everything.
Yeah.
Talk about your motive and reasons for such thorough transparency online. Because let me just tell you that I train horses, and I have learned you can't post anything without people giving you just holy hell about it.
No. So, you know, for instance, I posted just like a horsemanship lesson of me on one of my mares yesterday, and half the comment, mind you, like, we just did like all her maintenance. My vet did a whole lameness exam. She's literally totally sound. And the entire thing is like, she's lame. Well, she's walking weird here. Well, it's because you got spurs on that she's doing this. Well, there's no,
she has ulcers. It's always, she has ulcers.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always somebody telling me some sort of diagnosis of every horse on every video. It's just, you know, I've been doing this for almost a decade now, and I've gotten thick skin, and I just find it so important to not let the negative people or the naysayers keep you from sharing what you should to the people that are here for it and want to learn and want to know and want to invest in, you know, you and your content. And so I find it so much more educational and so much more, I don't know, like sharing the good and the bad of breeding and horse showing and, you know, just raising livestock and having animals. I think it gives a much more accurate picture to those that want to get into it, that may not have shown or even had animals growing up, and now they're adults and they want to get into it. Or there's kids that are, you know, begging their parents for their first horse. Like, there's no really, like, I don't know, accurate depiction out there that shows the whole picture that has like this much reach. And so I just want to, I don't know, be that person, I guess.
I think one of my favorite ways to think about it is education breeds interest. So if you are educating people about certain things, you're facilitating interest in what you do. And I think that as a horse person for life, I think it's so important to continue things going. And you're one of the people that is doing that. I mean, the good and the bad, like, guys, this, I think it's giving a more realistic perspective on what happens on a farm.
And I think this is one of my favorite, like, I guess, terms to use, is that I feel like the horse community as a whole likes to gatekeep a lot of things. And, you know, if, like, you're kind of looked down upon if you don't know something, like, you got your first horse, oh, I can't believe you don't know that. And it's like, who would tell them? Like, they're getting into this on their own. If they found an instructor, great. But then they just have that one instructor's knowledge. Like, having knowledge from multiple people is best. And if somebody wants to get into horses and then all they see is people being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't know that. And then they just feel very insecure with it and don't, you know, it kind of steers them away from it rather than bringing them into it. And so, well,
tell them not to read the comment section for your video. It's good.
I just like to make it a very open, like, okay, like, I'll answer this question. It may, you say it sounds dumb. Well, let's talk about it, because not everyone's going to know that, you know?
So, do you have a feeling for how many are non-horse people that follow your content? I would say it has to be higher than any other of the personalities
it's
out there.
A lot, for sure. You know, I do work with a couple of actual, like, you know, like, quote unquote horsey companies. So like my feed company and like supplements and stuff like that. And so we do have quite a few horse people showing or following as well. But I would say it's a lot of people coming to my page because they've either longed to have horses and didn't have the avenue to do it. They you know, want to learn about something that it just piqued their interest. And maybe they were never really interested in horses, but now they are because of a video they saw, or they just want cuteness, you know, that too.
Well, you've got plenty of that. Now, where in the world are you located? And I saw you riding like with no stirrups and stuff. What type of sport do you do? I'm sure everybody knows this and they're cussing me. Sorry.
I'm in Tennessee. And so my entire life I've shown the AQHA circuit. So all American Quarter Horses, and we do the all around, and we show like horsemanship, equitation, Western riding, trail, Western pleasure, hunter saddle. I always had horses that I did everything on because I wanted to do the all around. And so I've kind of had like a little decade long hiatus. And so I'm coming back into it. So trying to go back to the basics.
I can't imagine why you don't have time to do all the things. I mean, I was watching, I'm like, how do you have time to run the farm, deliver all these babies, handle the stallion and promote that and do everything you're doing and then film everything and edit it? Like, do you have a staff?
I do. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Lots of help, an amazing team, an amazing support system that could not do it without help. And I mean, generally speaking, and I'm not like an early riser. So I would say generally speaking, I kind of start at like 9 every day. And then like I was editing videos until midnight last night. So it's probably not sustainable forever.
No, it's probably not. The burnout does happen. So at what point in this whole video thing, obviously you started posting, at what point did you go, holy crap, this is taking over? This is a thing.
I would say it's been my full-time job for 9 years, but it was
not. Which is insane. I mean, that's insane.
It was not to this extent, though. I mean, I started off on Instagram and like got to 300,000 pretty quickly on Instagram. But, you know, that's pretty limited as a platform, especially back then, as to how you could monetize it. So it was pretty much like all brand deals. And so I would say in like 2023, maybe, is when it really kicked off. And then 2024 was just like a mega boom. So 2023 is when I bought like VS Code Red and started kind of like the stallion journey. And so it definitely was a big, no, I would say 2022. Yeah. 2023 was the pop off year. Cause that's the year I bought Waylon. And so it's been, you know, just kind of a learning journey along the way.
Gotcha. So with your stallion, I know, tell everybody who doesn't know about VS Code Red.
VS Code Red, I've literally been in awe of him for 15 years, and I cannot believe that I own him now. But he is a 5-time Congress champion in the Western Pleasure and Western Riding. He is a multiple NSBA world champion in the same. He was a bronze world champion in the Western Riding. He's just a very versatile, athletic, phenomenally talented stallion. And he's known for producing really good-minded babies that go on to do an array of things. So you'll go to a horse show and there's going to be babies winning that are by him or out of mares by him, which I love about him. He's producing some amazing producers. So like his mares are going on to have phenomenal babies and crossing well with other stallions. But you'll see them, you know, winning in the hunter under saddle. You'll see them winning in the showmanship, in the trail, in the Western riding, in the pleasure, and like literally everything. And then I'll even see him, you know, pop up in the ranch once in a while as well. So he's just a really versatile guy. And I think he's made a really, really positive impact on the quarter horse itself.
I will say that, I mean, your level of followers, I'm sorry, I'm not on Instagram or TikTok, or I feel like I'm too old for that, but I am on Facebook because that tracks, because, you know, it's my age. But I was speaking to a couple friends and I told them that I was like, hey, we're having a lady named Katie Vance, like, come on. And swear to God, both of them were like, oh my God. Okay. Katie has this horse and his name is VS Code Red and she breeds all these babies. And then one time she had that, and both of them gave me this like years long tally of your life. How crazy is that for you?
That's awesome. Yeah, it is a little crazy, but, and you know, what's insane is like the growth that happens. So like in the intro, you're like 12 million followers. And when we talked, that probably was accurate, but now it's like almost 15 million. And it's like, it's just kind of, I don't even know how to comprehend it, honestly.
I have a friend who's really big in the dog world. Her name is Chrissy Joy, and she does movies with dogs. I mean, she's really big in that world, demonstrations, and everybody in the dog world knows her as the entertainer. Yeah. And she is not impressed by anything we do until I told her I was having you on. That was like a month and a half ago when we were trying this, and she freaked out. She totally freaked out.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Chrissy Joy did? Oh, yeah. So if I didn't mention her name today, I was going to lose a friend. So I just did that. So you definitely stand outside the horse world.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's always crazy to see, you know, we'll go live or we'll be doing live foal watch, which I don't show any of the foaling live or anything like that, but we'll turn it on all night long where people can like see if the mare's behavior change and stuff like that. And it's always crazy to me seeing all the countries that it reaches, you know, all the different spaces that, I don't know, it just has brought a lot of people together, which is really cool.
Which one has surprised you the most?
I think someone from Zimbabwe was watching and I was like, really? I don't know. that one just kind of, I was like, wow. Lots of people from like Australia and Austria and Germany and just like Europe in general tune in quite often. But
yeah, we've had some weird ones. I'm like, I didn't even like listening to this podcast. I'm like, they don't even speak English anywhere near that country. And here we have downloads coming in from other countries. It's crazy. Right. Well, that's awesome. So what is your big kind of like goal for this thing? Or are you just living it right now?
You know, right now it's making a lot of my dreams possible. And so, you know, first and foremost, I'm a horse breeder and a horse, you know, I want to show and I'm an equestrian and this platform is making a lot of things possible for me. And I'm really wanting to grow my like true, like brick and mortar business outside of social media. So like the horse breeding and, you know, would love to have a facility one day of, you know, foaling out mares for people and, you know, standing stallions and having trainers on site and all that good stuff. But that's in the future. And so right now it's just to continue hopefully growing in a positive way. And I'd like to get back in the show pen and just like, you know, trying to utilize the opportunities that I have in a positive way. That's really the only way I can do it because it's just been happening so fast that my plans don't really like pan out the way I think they will. And I just kind of have to let it happen. You know,
they haven't contacted you for the TV deal yet.
Or the cloning. I mean, my God, it sounds like you need to be cloned for.
Yeah, we talk about cloning horses. You need to be cloned.
Sometimes I wish there was two of me, I will say, but
Well, that's great. Well, that's so exciting that you have all these plans and you're going to get it done. And I just, you know, just one day at a time, one day at a time. And congratulations on all your success. And like Glenn said, has anybody approached you about any sort of television or,
you know, things? I haven't had any, I have, but not like seriously. Like I get all kinds of proposals all the time, but I have zero interest in having a TV show.
Yeah, that comes with its own nightmare.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You already have more people watching your videos than mainstream TV does watching network shows.
Yeah, and I have no interest in having someone else put any type of spin on my life. For dramatic effect, you know,
it's dramatic enough, right?
It is, but in a different way, right, you know, like right. I have such a good group of people that have surrounded me and like, you know, I do this with my husband and my family. And I just see no reason in bringing in drama into my personal like relationships with people. It's like the animals are dramatic enough, but I just feel like on TV, that's probably not the drama that people are going to want to see, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Well, congratulations on everything. We're so glad that we were able to make this work. And you know what? Keep the videos of Glenn coming because he's going to be the most popular baby ever.
I'm about to go film one actually right now.
Oh, good. I'll be watching for it.
Well, the next filly you have, Jamie is a great name.
I love it. I'll keep that in mind.
Thank you, Katie.
All right, Katie. Thank you.
Appreciate it so much.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, coming up next, there's a brand new show on the Horse Radio Network called Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. I got to meet them for the first time last night and had a little bit of chat with them about their show. And I love these two, and I think you're going to also. Well, Sandy and Kara, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always so fun to talk about new shows that are on the network. Welcome.
And thank you. Thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Kara, I got to ask you, was this your idea? Whose idea was it to start a podcast?
It was definitely my idea, and it was born while I was shoveling poop. Great ideas.
You know, right now, the people that are listening to this, 40% by our survey shows they're shoveling poop right now. So that you all best ideas come while you're shoveling poop.
Absolutely.
And how did you find your co-host? I put an ad on Facebook. How'd you do it?
Oh my goodness. I fell in love with Sandy at first sight, and we met each other at a barn. It was love at first sight. She was actually walking a horse that was super lame, and I told her what was going on, and she completely ignored me. So like all of my great relationships, I was ignored and chased her down.
Does she still ignore you?
No. No, actually,
now she's the one who can actually identify issues going on with my current horses. And I rely on her to see the things that I don't see.
Don't you think that's true, though? Other people see stuff in our horses we don't see.
Yeah, but sometimes the stuff she's just, I'm like, damn it, Kara, could you just not look at my horse for a minute? Can we just go for a ride, please? So we were both in SoCal, and her husband moved up here. And then
you're in Nevada now, right?
We are in Nevada, right. And so then she said, you need to move up here. And I said, okay.
So, and you did.
And I did.
You bought the house around the corner, sight unseen.
We're in Nevada, by the way, Kara.
Say that again.
We're in Nevada.
We're right below Lake Tahoe in a small town called Carson City.
Oh, yeah. Is that real horsey there, Kara?
Oh my gosh, it's spectacularly horsey. I mean, if I say that, you're all going to move here. So no, it's not.
I live in Ocala. We're tired of people moving here. So
it's basically Mecca. Horses thrive here. They literally live wild and they run around. And I had no idea that living somewhere like this was going to actually make my horses healthier.
Oh,
the trails are amazing. The culture is amazing. People train out here for the Tevis.
Is it a lot of, I assume it's a lot of endurance riders, but is there other showing there?
There is not as much as we're used to. There's a lot of dressage women who live in the valley next to us. So there's this small, very small community of dressage riders in one valley. And then on the other side of town, there's another valley, and that's where the hunter jumpers.
Because we can't combine the two. They can't be close.
No.
We don't let them talk.
No.
So funny. All right, so it's mostly trail riding then, which is probably the most spectacular trail riding.
Oh, it's beyond spectacular. And you actually get to see wild horses while you're trail riding. I don't know if it gets more picturesque than that. And you get to choose your landscape because we do live at elevation. There's this amazing desert, and then not 10 minutes up the hill, you're in the forest.
Yes.
With lakes. So you really do have a diverse area that you can go. We have lakes that we go in for fun in the summer.
Yes. There's also Washoe Lake, which is Lake. Maybe 15 minutes down the road, where a lot of the wild horses hang out. And you can go through there, and there are trial obstacles set up that you can ride through and practice and play around. So it's very diverse.
That's so fantastic. You know, it's so funny because we talked a bit, well, we talked a lot actually before we started recording, and I knew we were going to get off track, and I haven't yet asked you what your podcast is about. So I probably ought to do that. Sandy, what's your podcast about?
Well, while we were writing, we would talk about things, just random things, our husbands, work, our horses. And that's when Kara brought up to me and said, this would be a great podcast.
I literally turned in the saddle and said, we need to start a podcast.
Yeah. So our Saddle Talk
is just saddle talk. I mean, it's mainly horses, obviously, but we go off on tangents and we talk about anything that two menopausal, well, I'm already in menopause. She's premenopausal. So I'm trying to get her through it. And she's asking me if this is normal.
I can't live without her.
I know. And so it's just things that you talk about while you're out on trail.
It's life. It's life. And it's my horses. It's horses and life and how we exist. You know, Glenn, you're addicted. You're as addicted to horses as we are.
I'm a horse husband. I can't claim that. I have to step away from that. So, but you know what's funny is the best horse podcasts out there, I think, are podcasts where you can envision yourself sitting in the tack room talking to your friends, right? Yours is a little bit different in that you named it appropriately Saddle Talk, because the way you guys talk to each other is like you're riding on a trail ride talking to each other.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad you got that.
There is a slight difference, though, from the tack room to being in the saddle. And I think you really do convey that in the show.
Thank you.
Oh, that's the best compliment we've received.
It is.
Well, and you also get very personal in some of the shows, which, you know, we talk about being authentic. As to be a good podcaster, you have to be authentic. And you guys have that naturally. I mean, some of the conversations you've had have been very personal. But there's stuff we all go through, or we have a family member going through. And I think you know one episode I'm thinking about in particular. But it's all stuff that's relatable. And I'm glad that you're willing to open up about that stuff, because it's important.
Well, I think that people don't realize that they're not alone, and that, you know, you can come from the best families, you can come from, you know, a good environment, and stuff still goes to shit, right? So we wanted to convey to people real life and not just the hoity-toity, high level, this is everything is rainbows and kittens. It's not.
It's not. And I feel like being with horses, and when you live with horses and your life is about them, it's actually a very isolating sport, or at least it can be, especially for women who live with horses in their own yard and they're cleaning their own poop. You are by yourself every day out there, and you can actually be at a barn and feel very isolated in a barn. And so we wanted to just have a podcast that people could listen to and have a great time and feel like we were all sitting around chatting, having a good ride together.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of them too have family members who support them, but aren't really involved. I know a couple of times my husband and I would be going out to dinner and I'd say, well, I have to clean first. He would stand there and watch me cleaning, waiting for me to be done so we could leave. And I looked at him and I said, could you help me maybe like pick up a fork and, you know, help me go a little faster? And he's like, okay. I mean, so everyone's dealing with that too. Yeah.
Be careful now. You're talking about horse husbands here. Now I get a little sensitive husband, on that one.
Don't be offended. My horse husband is amazing. He will do everything I ask him to do. Same with Kara's. Our horse husbands will do everything we ask them to do out there.
We learn very early as horse husbands to not offer too much, because then we're expected to do things. So I get why you didn't want to pick up a pitchfork, because once you do that, you're screwed. It's true.
All right. Well, I'm glad he's not here, because he would be joining this call. All right,
we do have a horse husband segment once a month. I need to get him on and then we'll talk.
Oh my God. Don't tell them. No, don't tell them. No.
Sandy, you got your first horse at 48?
I did. I've loved horses all my life. I never thought that they would be part of my life like they are now. And I had an opportunity when I was that age, 48, that we thought we were getting a brand new horse, and totally green, colt, not even, you know, cut. And they were going to give it to us. And I knew it was sounded wrong. But I said,
free is never good.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's our latest episode. So I told my husband, that's great, but I need to go learn about horses. And so I started volunteering for a therapeutic riding program.
Oh, that's perfect, actually.
Yeah. And my daughter and I did that. And we did that together. And then over time, that's where I met Kara, not at the program, but at the barn. And I met another mentor of mine. She actually ran it.
and she helped me get my first horse. And yeah, I was 48. And there is a steep learning curve because you don't know what you're doing and you think you do and you don't. And you need people around you to help you and guide you through or tell you when your horse looks lame.
Well, I'm also not young and dumb, right? I think for a lot of us.
Young. No.
Kara, you've been doing this for 40 years and I think you'll agree with us. We're still learning. We still don't know what we're doing.
Oh my gosh, every day. And I started off young and dumb and I'm really glad that I did because I bounced. My body bounced and now it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Definitely doesn't bounce anymore. We all learn that the hard way too. Definitely. So you both have horse husbands. We just determined that. You have what, 10 episodes out now? So can you give people an idea of what kind of topics you've covered so far?
Topic wise, I feel like we've covered about half of our podcasts are interviews of people that we found inspiring. And then the other half are about the everyday trials of living with and being around horses 24/7. And then I think we sprinkle in there the trials and tribulations of just life.
Exactly. We actually, the one that we did, I think it's called Ozempic or something, mm-hmm. We relate our personal life and how it has a direct correlation to horses. You know, you start off in one aspect of your life, which you think is just like a personal or social, with confidence or exuding confidence or being able to say what you want. And then we relate it to, well, wait a minute, you know, that's how you have to work with horses. So we try to take a personal thing and relate it to horses, or we'll be talking about horses and we'll go, you know what? I remember my daughter, who is now 26, is amazing with her self-confidence. But at 12, there was no self-confidence and horses gave that to her. So we like to put that in our episodes as well.
Yeah. And I've never not lived with horses. I've had them my whole life. And so it's hard for me to separate them. I mark my life by horses and what I was doing at the time with them. And so for me, it's all interwoven and they've given so much to me. And they've made my life. And so I can't talk without talking about them.
Yeah. So all of our episodes are, you know, we try to also help people. We don't claim to be professional trainers.
We have a disclaimer. It's a strong one.
And we have a couple episodes where we were helping a friend of ours learn how to pony our horse. So we do try to sprinkle in a little bit of guidance, so to speak.
Well, I don't want to say any more because I want people to go listen to your show.
Oh, okay. Me too.
So normally we ask about your own horses and all that stuff, but I want them to listen to your show to get all of that. It's Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. You can find them on the Horse Radio Network, any podcast player. You'll find them there. I found them on my podcast player, no problem. So Saddle Talk with Sandy and Kara. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you for becoming part of the Horse Radio Network. We're glad to have you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. We're so excited. We appreciate you so much.
Whether you're hauling to a show, heading to a clinic, or just clocking highway miles, fuel costs add up fast. U.S. Rider diesel savings, powered by open roads, can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at thousands of gas stations across the country. High mileage drivers could save more than $700 a year. It's free to join, and as a gift from U.S. Rider, you'll get free priority processing when you sign up. Head to myopenroads.com/USRider to start saving today.
Time for this day in equine history. On this day in 1764, there was a solar eclipse. There was a chestnut colt born on that day during the solar eclipse in England. Guess what they called him?
I'm assuming they called him Eclipse.
That is correct. And he became the most dominant racehorse in history, going undefeated in 18 races. He was so dominant at the time that he eventually had to be retired because no one would bet against him, making it impossible for the bookmakers to make any money, so they just said,
oh my gosh.
Nobody would run against him. After his death, an autopsy revealed, same thing as Secretariat. He had a heart weighing approximately 14 pounds, nearly double the size of an average horse heart. Eclipse was so physically superior that nearly 95% of all modern thoroughbreds can trace their lineage back to him.
Okay, you guys know I used to get very passionate about what is happening when Glenn does an old racehorse story, and I get super excited.
Do you have a book
and
on
I
this?
Spew all the knowledge. Well, 1764, I got nothing.
You've heard of Eclipse. I mean, you've heard of the horse.
I'm glad to learn about Eclipse, yes, today. I did not know his heart was that big. I, you know, I've heard the name, but 1764 is before my knowledge of racehorses. So good job.
I thought it was before autopsies, but apparently not. So there's that.
I'm 76. I don't get it.
On this day, the first riders of the Pony Express prepared to depart. The official mail run began on the following day, on the 2nd, and it was a relay system, I think everybody knows, using nearly 500 horses to carry mail 1,900 miles across the American West in just 10 days, and they still do the recreations today. We've talked about it. We've had people on that have done it, but it was today. We have to celebrate that because it's probably one of the most well-known things in Western history. On a lighter, more modern note, April the 2nd is officially recognized as National Ride Your Horse to a Bar Day.
We got a weird news about that.
While it started as a fun social media holiday in 2021, it pays homage to the coaching inns of the 1700s and 1800s, where horses were the primary mode of transportation to the local pub. And now, I think in Norco, California, it still is, actually.
It is, actually. It depends on what state you're in, but it is a DUI to ride a horse drunk in many, many, many states.
Did we actually ride the horses to the... We rode the horses to lunch in Norco when we were there. Remember that?
I think we rode them to drive-through.
We actually went into the restaurant. They were tied up out front, and we were shocked they were still there when we came out because our horses wouldn't have been. So
That's so back in my history. I don't remember anything.
It's like true, though. I kind of remember that. All right, now it's your turn.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's time for Weird News. This is the time where all of you see things in the news that you're like, oh my God, that is so weird. And you email it to me at weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Okay, hang with me here. We got Charlotte, Lorene, Adrian, Sandy, Alicia, Janelle, Carrie, Caitlin, Glenn, Diane, Christy, Jenny, Stephanie, a different Stephanie. They both get credit. Cheryl, Aaron, Claire, and Carol. Yeah, that's 1 week. That's amazing. There's a lot of weird stuff happening. So I'm going to try to get through it. So first, I'm going to tell you about, it's like nature versus nurture in some situations, because bless his heart, James Shannon Farthing won in Kentucky, the largest total ever won in Kentucky for the jackpot for the lottery. And he won $167 million. Okay. Well, unfortunately, he was a career criminal before he won, which is BS. Like, people like that are winning the lottery and like, anyway, career criminal. Well, he was just arrested again, like after winning the lottery, because he broke into someone's house and tried to steal $12,000 in a home burglary over the weekend. Check this out. The dude, again, lottery winner, breaks into somebody's house. I don't know how he knew there was 12 grand or why they had 12 grand. I don't know any of those things. So don't ask any further questions, Glenn. But he stole $12,000 in cash from the home and fled the scene in his Porsche. In his Porsche.
Did he spend the whole $160 million or?
Well, you know, it's funny you should ask that, because when he did win the lottery, he shared it with his mother, Linda Grizzle, and his girlfriend, who has potentially the greatest name I've ever heard.
I've got to hear this.
Her name is Jacqueline Fightmaster.
No.
Jacqueline Fightmaster and Linda Grizzle all split the money with James Shannon Farthing.
I hope those two have some left, because apparently he doesn't.
I mean, it's amazing. So he has been in and out of prison for like 25 years. How come karmically that guy wins? You know what? I guess he won it and bad things are happening. So there you go.
It just
karma,
goes to show you, you know, money hasn't helped him change his life, has it?
No. Why would you?
Now, his getaway car was a Ford Fiesta before when he robbed places. Now it's a Porsche. So
a Porsche. They did. They did pull him over, and he had a big old fat joint hanging out his mouth.
Of course he did.
You're going to be shocked. He had drugs in the car.
I read he had been in 25 different jails.
Oh, my God.
He's going back to jail, I think. You know what? He should have money for the commissary, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, this time, Evansville, Indiana. And I got the guy's mugshot. And it is, I want you to imagine an Evansville, Indiana man who would do this. And that is what you would imagine. He's 41 years old. His name is Randall Baker. And you know what? A lot of people go in and they rob liquor stores, you know, like it's a very popular place to rob. I would never work in a liquor store because I'd be afraid somebody's going to rob me all the time because people come in there. But this guy did not rob the liquor store. He just stole the Bud Light truck that was parked out front that was about to be unloaded. So he cut out the middleman. You know what? That's impressive, to be fair. Like, Randall, that was impressive. You didn't worry about going in the store. You just stole the truck that had all the beers and took off. Now, unfortunately, they saw him do it, and police immediately started following him, and he led them on a police chase. Now, he's driving a Bud Light truck. Like, Bud Light is, like, on the back of the truck. Like, it's huge. There's no way he's going to get away. So he keeps going, but unfortunately, wouldn't stop. So they had to use stop sticks, you know, where they, like, put the sticks out there, the spikes that are going to pop the tires. Well, unfortunately, he was like, I'm not falling for that. So he veered around the stop sticks and ran into a cop car, which fortunately had nobody in it.
Oh,
so,
they don't like that, though. They really don't like that.
Obviously, he's busted. You've hit the stop sticks. You veered around it. You ran into a car. You're off the road, and you're currently in a ditch with a Bud Light truck. What happens? Get out of the car, sir. No. So then they had to use pepper ball rounds to get him out of the truck. Now, you're going to be, this is the most shocking point of the whole story, is his blood alcohol content was almost triple the legal limit.
No kidding. Big surprise.
Careful. I know you're shocked.
That employee's going to get fired for leaving the keys in the truck.
Right? Like, how dumb are you?
Did you see the story about the Kit Kat bars? Is that your next one?
No, do that in the post show.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I love that story.
I got a couple things
here. All right.
Okay, Glenn, I want you to think about some of the things that we have had that have spilled across the roadway. We've had chocolate, beer. What else has spilled across the roadway?
We've had all kinds of fruit and vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables, yes. All the things. Well, we have a new one. We have a new one because outside in a Missouri town, a tractor trailer that was hauling 40,000 pounds of tofu crashed on the road, and 40,000 pounds of tofu spilled out across
your dinner price
highway.
Just went up, Jamie.
I'm devastated. Okay. Now, here's the problem, is that it was an insurance kind of snafu that they had to delay the cleanup of this bill because they were having, like, insurance questions. And by the way, I can see there's a picture of the semi-truck, and it is obliterated, and there is boxes of tofu everywhere. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it cleaned up immediately because they had insurance stuff. This is in Jerome, Missouri. So the tofu was left on the side of the road for weeks. They said it was worse than a landfill on a hot July.
I was going to say, does it start to smell? I imagine it would.
Oh, my. They said it was. One guy says it was like a dead animal, but worse. It's probably one of the worst smells I've smelled in my life, and I've smelled some nasty stuff.
There's one roadkill you don't want to pick up.
They also then had flash floods, which pushed some of the tofu into a creek. And so some of the tofu washed up more than a mile away from the crash scene, and it all had to be cleaned up by hand.
On that note.
I'm just going to read you this one because I have zero idea about it, and I didn't have time to Google it to see if it was true. But, like, somebody posted this on Facebook with the comment of, at no point did I know what the next word would be. Okay, so I want you to pay attention. It starts with a Florida woman. Okay. A Florida woman has been accused of entering the penguin enclosure to teach them how to tap dance using a live alligator as her partner.
What?
Jacksonville PD said she was also dressed as a pineapple.
Is this April Fool's joke?
No, because it got sent to me days ago. And again, the guy says
that's
no
even bizarre for Florida.
A Florida woman has been accused of entering the penguin enclosure to teach them to tap dance using a live alligator as her partner while she was dressed as a pineapple, mugshots included. You know what? It's got a news tag attached to it. I will see if I can find it.
Oh my God, that's even bizarre for my state.
WXYZ 7 News. I'll look that up while you do everything else.
Was that the last one?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I'm going to play that music, the ragtime that you all seem to love. I'll play it out today. I won't play the whole thing. It's 3 minutes, so I'll play part of it for you. But we're also going to do a post-show, so hang around for that, auditors. And if you want to become an auditor, just hop on over to horseradionetwork.com. Scroll down to the middle of the page. You'll see a banner that says auditor right in the middle of the page there. Click on it, and for as little as $3 a month, you can join as well. We'll be back on Friday with some really bad ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you, Katie, so much for taking time out to join us today. That was a lot of fun. Too.
Let's pay Peter Gallatin. Do a little Charleston.